And by the way, is a good way to start, because by the way, one of the significant stories, I think, throughout the history of Spokane is the story of May Arkwright Hutton, of Levi Hutton, of the Hutton settlement of the past, the present, and I think that they're projecting the future also. And that comes together in a dramatic production that's happening at Civic Theater. It's Friday and Saturday this week at 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the same next weekend. And I love the title because it's slightly different than we're used to the kind of cliche, A Place Called Home, but I really like the subtle difference of a title, A Place to Call Home, which I think that one word change speaks volumes. The person who speaks those volumes is the person who's put all this together, Tim Rarick. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And welcome to the opportunity to really talk about something important in our community. And I assume that you, as the writer and director of this play, was motivated by the aspect of the Hutton settlement. So tell me, where was the little germ that began all this?
Well, actually, I wrote a musical in conjunction with Tom Cooper of Coeur d'Alene back in 1985 that was based on May Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was...
who is plenty of material for anybody.
Absolutely. I was sifting through Idaho history and came in contact with her many years ago. And she was such a classic character for a big, brassy musical, you know. Molly Brownish, you know.
Mm.
And so I did a lot of research on her back in the 1980s. We did an opera, it started out to be an opera. It ended up being a musical. But nonetheless, we did that in 1985. And then I wrote a couple of one-act plays about her that got toured around by various actresses. And so I had the background when I was approached by Chud out at the Hutton settlement one day, and he proposed the idea of having this centennial celebration, and he wanted to have a staged production, and he asked me if I'd be interested in writing it.
So about how long ago did you start writing this?
Well, I'd say 2 years ago.
Yeah, because it's a process to write a show.
Yes, it is.
like this, and to write it, produce it, and direct it. And we'll get into some of that process a little bit later. So that's of the Hutton settlement. So let's bring in somebody from the Hutton settlement. And this is the communications director, Jesse Lowry. And good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
And we'll go right to the present, then we'll back up. Right now, what is the Hutton settlement exactly? What goes on there with how many people?
Yeah, so the Hutton settlement is a children's home. We opened as an orphanage, but today we operate as a more of a residential home for children in need of a safe place. We currently have about 32 kids in residence, and then we have about 15 kids that are on our alumni caseload, ages 18 to 24. But what we're really all about is providing that hope, opportunity, and life for kids that were in similar situations as Levi Hutton. They didn't have the supportive family, or for whatever reason, they couldn't live at home. So we really pride ourselves on being that forever family, and can do so because of the generous support of community partners, our donors, and really one man's legacy.
Yeah, and so let's stay with that. Thank you. That's from the Hutton Settlement, Jesse Lowry. So back to you, Tim. And the precise story there, wasn't it, upon May's death that Levi really got focused on the idea of the Hutton Settlement?
Well, yes.
Talk a bit about that.
You've touched right at the heart of the play, and that is that from the very beginning, we chose it not to be about May. And in fact, the opening scene in the play is her funeral. And so it really focuses on life after May for Al, who was a very, very capable person, but he often gave an open hand to his wife, you know, and followed her direction. And now he has to adjust to life without her. And one of those things is to establish a long-range goal. And he decides, given his background and the background of his wife, that he wants to commit himself to the building of an orphanage, children's home, that is unsurpassed. And he dedicated the rest of his life to doing that.
And I'll kind of interject here that simply the facility, if one is driving east on Trent and sees that lovely set of brick buildings over there to the left as you're driving east, I think that right there speaks volumes about the fact of the respect and the effort to make it a really nice place.
Yes, yes. And we had the... good fortune this time of being able to go out there every day for rehearsal. So we've been rehearsing in those buildings and getting a very close look at the quality of that place over a period of 100 years. Levi said he wanted it built so it would last 250 years,
And it's holding up well.
Yeah, that's right.
it's made it 40% of the way already.
Yeah.
Tim Rarick, who wrote and directed this play, and I want to always be careful with the title, A Place to Call Home, which is happening there. Now, it is nevertheless, it's a play. It's theater, and theater needs tension. Theater needs bad guys and good guys and things like that. There are a couple of people in the room, and I don't know whether they're bad guys or good guys or not, so we're going to narrow down on that. But what is the idea of what dramatic tension were you able to bring into this so that people would want to stay till the end?
That was a challenge, you know. It's kind of, I remember working on a piece of in relation to Lewis and Clark, a musical that I also wrote with Tom Cooper quite a few years back. And, you know, everybody knows they made it to the Pacific. And so it's not so much in surprise. There's no big surprises along the way. But we focused on the people that he had to assemble to make this happen. And there were setbacks. There were things that he had to overcome, lawsuits, for instance, and hence why Tom was got in the play, because he's the judge. So there's tension in terms of the interaction between the characters, but it's mostly about building his own little family around himself of capable people who were allowed him to be successful.
Well, let's bring in a couple of these people. And so we will begin with the judge, Tom MacArthur. Welcome to this context.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and so you are the judge. Let's see, you're Judge Levi.
Levy,
yes. Judge Levy.
Correct.
Okay, are you the good guy? Are you the bad guy? How does this follow up with some of the dramatic tension in the play?
Well, I don't choose sides until the verdict. Tim foreshadows the discussion that I resolve earlier in the play with Mr. Corbin, who has a line, is there any other way to measure rich? Talking about money. And once we get to fully understand the character of Al Hutton, we realize how he sees another way to measure rich. And Mr. Corbin also warns that once people, especially in your family, know you have a lot of money, they want some of it, and they will track you forever until they get some. And Mr. Hutton wanted to make a clear slate when he started writing the history of the Hutton Settlement. And so he proposed offering money to May's side of the family, which he didn't have to do. But he thought, okay, they're family, let's be kind about this. And he offers a settlement. The judge makes it legal and binding. And that then starts the settlement on freshly fallen snow when it begins in November of 1919.
Nice. Tom MacArthur as the judge. And just for clarification, I gather that Al is the nickname for Levi. We're talking about the same person.
Yes.
Mr. Hutton is either Levi or
yes,
Al. Okay, just wanted to clarify that. So there's one of the both characters, and it says well about both the dramatic aspect of the theatrical aspect of it and the story being told. And then we also have Gus Paulson, I gather, of Paulson Building fame. And it's kind of fun, all these names that are plastered all over Spokane that come in here. So Michael Schmidt, welcome as Gus Paulson.
Thank you, Vern.
And what's your and where do you fit into this story?
Well, Gus and Al were very good friends. They were partners on the Hercules mine in Idaho. You know, we talk about the bad guys here, and Judge Levy deals with the actual bad guys. But there's also the more esoteric bad guy that is despair that Al goes through. He's in a pretty bad downward spiral, and Gus, as his good friend, helps him out with that.
And so back to you, Tim, who wrote this. What are some of the other characters and their role within this play?
Well, let's see. I suppose Mrs. Cowley Payne is a very familiar name around Spokane. Who else is in there? There's a considerable number of historic characters.
And May appears in flashback.
Well, May does, yeah. You can't get rid of May. No. She's always going to find a way
bigger
in.
Than life.
And there are three flashbacks because, you know, I didn't want to take for granted that everybody in Spokane knew. I was surprised to discover that wasn't what I thought it was. So she does come back in flashback. And indeed, Al has a continuing dialogue with her that becomes sometimes some humorous relief in the play. But back to that question, who are some of the other...
Hal Whitehouse?
Yeah, Harold Whitehouse.
Again, a street in Spokane.
Well, yes, and St. John's Cathedral.
Oh, of course,
yeah,
of course, yeah.
He was a tremendous architect. Corbin was mentioned, mm-hmm. D.C. Corbin, who many historians believe is the person who really anchored Spokane in terms of becoming mm-hmm. what it became. Mm-hmm. So there's a sprinkling of historic characters, and then there's some that are kind of composite characters that serve a purpose to advance the play.
And I assume that as any playwright is going to do, you you use the facts as a serving suggestion more than an edict.
Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Yes, that's true.
Good. And so this is the play, A Place to Call Home, that is at the Civic Theater Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week and next week, the usual time, 7:30, 7:30, and 2. And then parenthetically, Tom mentioned what KSPS is doing on the same topic.
It's a wonderful confluence of narrative around Hutton. Planned around the centennial, which is the 1st of November, mm-hmm. 1919, and then now the centennial of 2019. The season premiere of Northwest Profiles, 7 o'clock Halloween night, has the entire program dedicated to telling the story of the Hutton Settlement, and I've been working with the folks out at Hutton for about the last year and a half. I met Tim actually pushing a Model T down the lane at the campus. So mm-hmm. We have been hands-on this project mm-hmm. for more than a year, 2 years in his case. You go out there and it's this bucolic, wonderful place, yet you talk to the kids and you hear their stories and you just want to reach out and embrace them and be part of encouraging them that there is tomorrow and there is daylight and there is sunshine. You go out there and you feel uplifted. I do. Every time you drive down that lane, it seems like you leave whatever was nagging at you behind, and you're in this place that Levi created 100 years ago, and all that energy is still there. Mm. I haven't experienced that anywhere else. This is the first play that I've been involved with, so working with actors and a narrative on stage is new to me. But what impresses me with that also is that all these people get it. They understand the story of Mr. Hutton and May and what they went through in their life, because it didn't start easy for either one of them. And look what they did from nothing, a narrative for us to follow today.
Yeah. And Jesse Lowry from the Hutton Settlement. Are there any other? There's these two wonderful media things: the Civic Theater and then KSPS. Are there any other specific events or ceremonies or anything happening right around this 100th anniversary?
Yeah, we're actually ramping down. This summer we had a pretty incredible weekend on campus with about 1,000 people, alum, neighbors, friends, and it was really a family reunion. So that was this summer. But this play, I think, will be a really incredible opportunity for our story to come to life. And for people that know a ton about the settlement, or people that may have never even heard about the Huttons or the settlement, this will be pretty powerful. So we're looking forward to that, as well as the Northwest Profile, as we really hope the community understands not just that it's a place where kids come to live, but there's so much more depth and the opportunity we have to transform lives is really, really present in both of these stories and what we're doing on campus. So I just invite anybody that would like more information about the settlement or what we do or what we can provide for families to give us a call or to reach out.
Sure. And then I'm sure the need is never ending and will be never ending as long as we're on this planet. What are the, and you've already changed your focus some from the old orphanage concept to kids in crisis. Are there other thoughts or suggestions of what the future of this Hutton Settlement holds that are discussed among people? I know that's the hard question, but there must be, or the challenges or the unique things of our time.
Yeah, you know, like we kind of touched on, 100 years ago, the children that were coming to the settlement, many of them, or most of them, were true orphans. They had no parents or family, and that's why they ended up there. Today, it's a very different story. We serve kids that many of us would consider social orphans. For whatever reason, they can't live with family, but maybe that's, incarceration, substance abuse. We see a lot of homeless, failed adoptions. So these kids that are coming to us, they have experienced some level of trauma, and it's our job to make them feel valued, to feel chosen. And so that's come with a completely different need of resources as we've kind of taken a look at the model and said, what we need to provide these kids is so much more than a place to live. And so we're really addressing things like identity, purpose, where do you find joy, belonging, so that these kids, when they leave, they know, one, family doesn't end at 18. The doors at Hutton are always open. The same relationships will always be there. But that they lead secure lives, that they feel like they're not on their own, that they themselves are good, and that they can have relationships with people that they trust. And so making that step, again, takes a significant investment. So we really, for the first 100 years, we've been fortunate enough to be funded via commercial real estate. So we own about 21 pieces of commercial property. That property then funds, the rental income funds about 90% of our operations. Incredible vision for Mr. Hutton, and mm-hmm. It sustained us for 100 years. But what we're looking at now is, as this need is growing, we are going to need to ask our community for support. And so many people may have never even heard about Hutton Settlement because we haven't been out asking or really providing that opportunity. And so as we move forward and share this story, we hope people will be compelled to walk alongside of us and really make a difference in the lives of these children, just as Levi Hutton did.
Thank you. And Jesse Lowry from the Hutton Settlement and Tom MacArthur, who's in the play, Michael Schmidt, who's in the play, and certainly Tim Rarick, who has gotten this whole thing rolling. And, through all the work, it must be pretty gratifying.
It is. And as Jesse was talking, I wanted to make sure we included the fact that we have five of the Hutton's kids in the play.
Mm, perfect.
Hardly could be done without doing that.
Good. So, again, it's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 this weekend and next weekend at Spokane Civic Theater. Thank you, everybody.